translation with a short purport by Srila Prabhupada ki. You are the cause of all causes, the self-effulgent, inconceivable, impersonal Brahman, which is originally Param Brahman. You manifest various potencies in this cosmic manifestation. Please repeat after me. You are the cause of all causes, the self-effulgent, inconceivable, impersonal Brahman, which is originally Parabrahman. You manifest various potencies in this cosmic manifestation. Purport. This prayer is offered to the impersonal Brahman, which consists of the effulgent rays of Param Brahman. Param Brahman is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Param Brahma Param Dhamma Pavitram Paramam Bhavan. When Lord Shiva is worshipped as a Param Brahman, the worship is meant for Lord Vishnu. End of purport. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Litam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Snapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangalam Gayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarinam Vishnu Puraya Krishna Vasta Bhutale Shimadi Tama Krishna Vasanti Namne Namo Vishnu Puraya Krishna Vasta Bhutale Shimadi Bhakti Vidanda Swamne Tinamne Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunnamadi Paskara Desatarine Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripasindhuvyai Vacha Paditanam Pavane Bhyo Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namah. So we read the verse again. You are the cause of all causes. Actually, I read the verse 23 first. O Lord, you are self-effulgent and supreme. You created this material world by your personal energy, and you assumed the names Brahma, Vishnu, and Maheshwara when you act in creation, maintenance, and annihilation. Text 24. You are the cause of all causes, the self-effulgent, inconceivable, impersonal Brahman, which is originally Parabrahman. You manifest various potencies in this cosmic manifestation. So we can see from this text the impression is given that those prayers, they are meant for Lord Vishnu. Isn't that? It's correct. But actually, they are addressed to Lord Shiva, who is the next expansion of Lord Vishnu before the living entities they are created along with the demigods. Mahadev, why is he addressed also as Mahadev? Is the like you have Mahaprabhu, the greatest spiritual master of all the masters, Mahaprabhu. Then you have demigods, devas, and you have Mahadev, the greatest of all the demigods. Why? Almost God. Actually, he is God. Very often, Srila Prabhupada often mentioned the attribute of Bhagavan is only given to three personalities, and one is the Purusha avatar, Lord Krishna, and all his incarnations. Another one is Lord Shiva, is also called the Bhagavan. And occasionally, I do not know why, but there is a particular living entity who's also addressed as a Bhagavan. You know which one is? Hiranyakashipu. No, it's Narada Muni. He's kidding. He's. All right. Yeah, but the demons, they see him as a Bhagavan, of course. We force them, you know, to address him as a Bhagavan. But it's the correct answer is Narada Muni. The Mahadev, Lord Shiva, is so powerful, and like demigods. Demi means semi, almost. That's what it means. But he's not semi. He's not actually an ordinary demigod. He's not a living entity. Marginal potency of the Lord is not that, and he's not even a demigod, but he's actually in some aspect God himself. If you take the aspect of Sadashiva, who is an expansion of Sankarshan, through Sadashiva, the living entities are manifested, created, all of us. If we want to trace the origin of our genes, we're actually all from Lord Shiva, believe it or not. He impregnate the Ramadevi, who is the representation of this material energy, with a glands, and that is actually Mahavishnu, Sadashiva. It's not different from Mahavishnu glancing upon Lakshmi Devi, who is none other than Ramadevi. The living entities are manifested, impregnated, and this is the intercourse activated by the Lord just by the glance. We can say, very often we say that the Lord, he can do any functions with any part of his body. He can eat with his hands, or he can create with his eyes. He can he can speak with his legs. He can do whatever he wants. He can be multitask in a different part of his body. So Sadashiva is actually Mahavishnu, who is also Advaitacharya Mahavishnu, who is a Purusha avatar. They are actually the direct expansion of Sankarshan. Sankarshan, we all know that is the very first expansion of Lord Balaram. And all the other incarnations are actually emanating from Sankarshan. You have Sankarshan, which is also the very first incarnations are Vasudev, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, and Sankarshan, which is the quadruple expansion of Lord Balaram. So from this Sankarshan, all the other incarnations, all the Vishnus that you have in the Vaikuntha Loka are all from Sankarshan, like Lord Ram, Lord Nrisingadev, Matsya, Kurma, Parashuram, all the even a Krishna, when he comes and performs the pastimes on the earthly planet. Now, this is supposed to be a sacrilege. Does that mean that Sankarshan is the source of Krishna? No. When Krishna from Goloka Vrindavan once appear on the earthly planet, then he goes through Sankarshan. He also follows the protocol, the procedure of all the incarnations. That's why Lord Krishna is one of the Gunavatars. There are 10 Gunavatars, and Lord Krishna is one of them. And he appears always in the Dwapara Yuga. So even Lord Krishna himself and Balaram himself, they appear through Sankarshan. So Sankarshan is actually is the springboard of all the incarnations that they are just about to come in this material world. They all have to pass through him. And that's why even Lord Shiva is created by Sankarshan. And who is the worshipable Lord of Lord Shiva when he meditates on the Himalaya? It's a Sankarshan. Shiva Bhagavatam. He's always meditating on his father, on his source. So that's why you have a Lord Ram, Lord Shiva. Those are all on the same level. In the sense, Sadashiva, who is Mahavishnu, Lord Ram, you have a name, Shivaram. I asked once Shivaram Swami, what is the meaning of you? What does that mean? The name of Ram is associated to a demigod. So that's how he explained it to me. And that's how the Srimad Bhagavatam also explained. That non-difference from Sadashiva and Lord Ram. Sadashiva is Lord Vishnu. And then from Sadashiva comes the three Rudras, Lord Shiva. And famous for being the symbol of Shambhu, Shiva Shambhu, the Shivalinga. Why the Shivali people, you know, they distort the meaning. They think, you know, it's a sexual intercourse. But it's not. It's actually symbolizes the union of Sadashiva with Ramadevi, and the living entities are born. So that is actually transcendental intercourse. It's not mundane. That is when the Lord from Vaikuntha, he wants associate with his consort, Radha and Krishna. So they expand, and Krishna becomes Sankarshan, Balaram, then Balaram Sankarshan, and Radharani becomes Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi becomes Ramadevi. And then Ramadevi becomes Parvati. And then you have Lord Vishnu, who is an expansion of Sankarshan, becoming Lord Shiva. So you could see both of them, they have the same origin, the same source, Radha and Krishna. So this is the hierarchy of those great personalities. And that is the reason why Lord Shiva here is addressed as a Bhagavan. As you are actually the embodiment of these three incarnations, Brahma, Vishnu, and Rudra. And if you read in the previous purport, text 22, actually, I didn't even study properly on this, but Bhadranga Prabhu was supposed to confirm to me that I was giving class today, but he never did, and he never sent me a verse. And but I came anyway, just in case. I didn't want to create a trouble. Aham Bija Pradapita. He's addressed as the Supreme Father. Now, in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna, he claims himself, Aham Bija Pradapita. I am the seed-giving father of all the living entities. That's the truth. That's the absolute truth. But how come that Lord Shiva also is addressed in the same way as the Supreme Father, Aham Bija Pradapita? Because he's the creator of all the living entities. Lord Krishna uses his expansion, Lord Shiva, to create all of us. So this is the purpose of the existence of Lord Shiva. Is a great phenomenal, inconceivable, like this is explained in the translation. I've been for 30 years in UK and I still don't know how to spell this word properly. Inconceivable. I always say inconceivable. Because in Italian we have a different accent. Inconcebibile. But now the all of us, just like Lord Shiva, we have meaning to our existence. What does it say? That we are all useful in the eyes of God, but nobody is necessary. That is why pride in the spiritual world is conspicuous by its absence. There is no pride, even into the heart of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the spiritual world, in one sense, we are all equal. In one sense, that everyone deserves respect, to be identified as a person, to be of the same quality like Krishna, to be spiritual, and to have qualities that no one else has got. Believe it or not, each one of you has something that not even a God he has. Because otherwise, why would he create us? He has created us for his pleasure. And that thing that we have, that nobody else has, brings pleasure to Krishna. And that is the inner core of that individuality. So we are all different in terms of individuality. And that's why everyone has, there's one beautiful purport. Srila Prabhupada quotes one of the Acharya, I think it's Baladev Vidabhushan. He says, and it smashes the Mayavadi philosophy, mentality, that the proof, the tangible proof that we are all individual is that everyone has a different opinion. Even between Radha and Krishna, they disagree. They're different. It's the same person. But there you find the two individuality. They were one, but at the same time, they are two. So, and in this way, you also have all the expansions, all the incarnations of Krishna and Balaram. Those are all individuals, separate personalities, yet part of Krishna, non-different from Krishna. Sankarsan, Vasudev. Now you have the Krishna from Mathura, the Krishna from Vrindavan. The same Krishna, but yet different. The gopi, when they come to Kurukshetra, they are actually very much attached to the Krishna of Mathura. Please come to Vrindavan. But actually Krishna is already in Vrindavan. He never leaves Vrindavan. Why? Why do they anchor for something that they already have? Because the Krishna in Mathura is the same person, but yet is different. So they want to pull him with a chariot to Vrindavan. Different because the Krishna in Mathura, he does things that the Krishna in Vrindavan doesn't do. Krishna in Mathura kills demons. The Krishna in Vrindavan, he never kills anybody. Sorry, do you agree? Oh, okay. So I see you doing like this. I don't know. In India, when you do like this, means I agree. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah, they do. Sometimes I used to get confused. It means, you know, they disagree. This is all from Srimad Bhagavatam. The Krishna in Vrindavan is the only Purusha. Is the only enjoyer. He only enjoys, nothing else. Doesn't fight. When the Krishna in Vrindavan kills demons, is the Krishna of Mathura, the Vasudeva Krishna, that is inside him, that kills demons. But the Vrindavan Krishna is not aware of it. Now, how do we understand that? He's actually not aware of it. He's afraid also, like the inhabitants of Vrindavan. He's also afraid of demons. He's afraid of Mother Yashoda. It's like Yogamaya casts a spell on him just to make him enjoy, only enjoying, and that's all. Like Lord Shiva, you know, sometimes he wants to take part into the Rasa Lila of Krishna. He cannot do. He cannot enter in that Purusha mood, because Lord Shiva is also, you know, he's the husband of Parvati, he's the father of the living entities, he's a fighter, he's a protector. So with that conception, he cannot enter. So therefore, what does he have to do? He has to dress himself as a gopi. Give up that conception, and he has to become a little girl to be enjoyed by Krishna. The Krishna in Vrindavan, there is only one principle there, the enjoyer, and everybody else is enjoyed. That means when we are enjoyed, we are in a female mood. That's why Lord Shiva had to become female to have a darshan of the Rasa Lila. Gopishvari. Isn't Gopishvari, right? The little gopi. And now, is it good or is it not good to worship Lord Shiva? The Shishirada Gokulananda Kija. It's very good to worship Lord Shiva. We worship Lord Shiva every aarti in evening. But we have to understand that to worship Lord Shiva as our superior and to help us to come close to his source, who is Lord Krishna, that is the right mood. Just like people sometimes they get confused why Lord Ramachandra worshipped Lord Shiva. So therefore, Shiva must be superior to Ram. Actually, when Lord Ram came to this earthly planet, that was the tattva. It was correct. Lord Shiva was superior to Lord Ram. Why? Because Lord Ram, in order to kill Hiranyakashipu and the demons, he had to come as a human being. He did not come as a demigod, was a god. If he came in that suit, then Lord Shiva will worship him. But he came as a human being. But of course, Lord Shiva recognized him as his source, you know, as his supreme personality of God. But and Lord Ram, he did not want to break the protocol of his acting. He came as a human being, so he worshipped his parents. He worshipped the great sages, Vishwamitra. And he worshipped the great demigod like Lord Shiva. Because he came as a human being. Just like Lord Chaitanya, he came as a devotee. He did not come as a god. So he accepted a spiritual master. He worshipped his superior, One of his superiors was criticizing him, antagonistic and belittling him. But still, yet, Lord Chaitanya worshipped him. That was Ramachandrapuri. So this is the etiquette of the Lord. When he comes, he follows his own protocol. It's not that he comes and he says, I come as a human being or as a devotee. And then when he's put under strain, you know, he becomes God. Then he doesn't do that. And the devotees, they recognize him as a God. Because those who are anointed with pure bhakti, they always recognize their Lord in whatever shape he comes. Like Hanuman, he recognized Lord Ram. You know, he didn't see him as an ordinary human being. All the associates of Lord Chaitanya, they recognized this ordinary devotee as a God. Even though he came as a devotee. So, to worship Lord Shiva, it depends the motivation we have. Here he's worshipped very, because he did something extraordinary to take up the poison of the world into his system. That is, for the welfare of everybody, to allow the demigods and the demons to carry on enjoying the fruits of the sea, of the ocean. So how merciful, how detached he is. He could have said, oh, I'm not getting anything. Actually, Lord Shiva did not help neither the demons or the demigods to churn the ocean, because he had no interest. Whatever was coming out of the ocean, so many beautiful things came out, but he was not interested. He was not materialistic. He is not materialistic. So, but when they were in difficulty, the poison, all the good things, they took it. Demigods and demons, both materialistic. I don't want to be offensive to the demigods, but they are materialistic. But as soon as some difficulty came, you know, they had to call Lord Shiva. You come and clean it up. So he did it, because he's a superior to all of them. So he did an act that even Lord Vishnu himself was impressed. And that's why they addressed him as Bhagavan, yeah. And even when Lakshmi Devi came out of the ocean at some point, she was looking for the eternal partner, for the eternal Lord. She was looking at Indra. Indra was, he thought he was the one. You know, he's a beautiful person, Lord Indra, but not as beautiful as Lord Shiva, Lord Krishna, or Vishnu, Narayan. So all the demigods, they were trying to allure and trying to impress Lakshmi Devi. She was observing each one of them, all the demons, all the demigods, and every one of them thought, oh, this is so beautiful, and I believe that I am the husband. She's going to choose me. So she went through everybody, but she was not interested in anybody. And then she saw this personality, Lord Shiva. She was very attracted to him. But yet, she said, almost, but I don't think there's something there missing. But then when she saw Lord Narayan, that's it. She put her head on his chest and she found her Lord. But why Lakshmi Devi was attracted, it says in the Bhagavad, was attracted to Lord Shiva? Because actually Lord Shiva, he has more quality as a God, as a Supreme Personality of Godhead, than as a living entity. So he's more godly than human. The demigods are like more humans and a little bit of godly qualities. But Lord Shiva, he has godly qualities and a little bit of human qualities in him. So that's why Lakshmi was very attracted to him. But still, she wanted the complete personality who was Lord Narayan. So this is just a few little thoughts about Lord Shiva. And it's 7 minutes to 8:30, and ask if there is any questions.